All right, welcome back. Among the battles that are being waged on this godforsaken planet, maybe I shouldn't say that, but it does apply to a significant degree in many cases. Among those battles, believe it or not, is the effort to overthrow, destroy, and reconfigure the world's greatest religion, Catholicism, and turn it into a pastoral, nature-worshipping fraud. We're literally looking at the overthrow of the religion of 1.3 billion people. And Father Paul Kramer is the last living expert on the truth of the third Fatima prophecy. And he has been absolutely instrumental in helping all of us understand this. Even if you're not Catholic, I'm not, doesn't matter. This is a big deal. Part of the globalist elite, the Zionist global elite, the Zionist Bolshevik communist global elite, overthrowing everything. And not to mention trying to kill three-fourths of the people on the planet. This is what we're doing. We're actually watching this happen. I mean, it's crazy. So I have somebody sent in a question here. I'm going to give that to Father Kramer in a minute. Father Kramer, thanks for being up. How are you? Whoop, I don't hear Father Kramer at all. Let's see if he's there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you a little bit there. Keep talking.
Yes, I thought that the audio problem had come.
No, I got you maxed up here. Todd's working hard. It's a bad line. It may be intentional. That's possible. I don't know. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you perfectly.
All right, good. Oh, well, I think we can get along with this. Let's give it a shot. Here's an email question. Hi, Mr. Rentz. It's a good way to start. I know that time is limited, but if it's possible, could you please ask Father Kramer three questions that I have always wondered about concerning the Catholic faith? Are you with me?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, very good. Okay. Number one, we'll do these one at a time. Does the Catholic Church believe there is going to be 3 days of darkness in the future? Question. What do you think?
It is not a matter of the Catholic faith. The only thing I can say about what the Catholic Church confesses as divine revelation is that everything that is in sacred scripture, of course, by God, in the prophet Joel, it is foretold that the sun will go dark, there will be a time of darkness, but nothing more specific than that in sacred scripture. Now, there are prophecies of the saints, seers of the Catholic Church. Those are private revelations, but they specify 3 days of darkness. Blessed Anna Maria Taigi spoke of 3 days of darkness. Blessed Elena Aiello, Saint Pio, that's Padre Pio of Pietrocina, died in 1968, a great saint of the Catholic Church.
Right.
Spoke of the 3 days of darkness. So, in Catholic prophecy, credible saints have spoken of 3 days of darkness. I think Gaspar da Bufalo, another one, the 19th century Italian saint. So that's not a matter of Catholic Church confesses as a matter of faith.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's number one. Before we go on to number two, Padre Pio looms in my layman's knowledge base, which is not much, as a very interesting saint. What can you tell us about him and son? Why was he so respected? If he perplexed a lot of people, he had allegedly some very interesting physical powers, did he not? Am I thinking right on this?
He was like St. Francis of Assisi, he had visibly the Christ crucifixion.
Oh, hold on, Father Kramer. Let's start that over again, if you would. Get right up on your phone mouthpiece. Let's see if that makes any difference. Okay, the answer to the question again, please, start over. Padre Pio.
Pio had the wounds of Christ visibly on his body, the wounds of Christ crucified.
Yes, that's what it was. Did they leave scars? Did they bleed? Do you remember?
Yes, they bled. Interestingly, when he died, they disappeared completely.
Huh.
And there was no sign of those wounds after he died.
What do you make of that?
As mysteriously as they appear, so mysterious.
I got it. Okay. All right. Number two. Was Pope John Paul I really poisoned?
In my humble opinion, I would think that he was poisoned.
Well, we sure as heck know that there's a lot of chicanery and very strange behavior going on in the Vatican right now, and certainly throughout history. It probably has ebbed and flowed, but nothing would be a big surprise, I guess, over time. So, yeah. Okay.
What it's worth, there was also another priest was close to Padre Pio, known for his gift of prophecy, and that was a priest by the name of Don Breno Zecchetti, Father Breno Zecchetti. I knew him personally.
Uh-huh.
And when he was asked about death of John Paul I, he did not hesitate to say he was poisoned. And Cardinal Gagnon, I recall he had a conversation with Monsignor Mario Marini.
Mm-hmm.
Monsignor Marini was secretary of the Congregation for Divine Worship when he died in 1978 when John Paul I died. Shortly before then, I think 3 days before he died, Cardinal Gagnon was on the phone with my Father Mario Marini. And he told Don Mario, they're going to kill this Pope. He's trying to make too many changes too quickly.
Hmm.
Then 3 days later, John Paul I was dead, and Marini rang Gagnon on the phone, and he said, do you remember what you told me 3 days ago? And Gagnon said, I remember very well, and they did it.
Hmm. Well, there you go. Look at the intrigue going on now. I mean, think about it. Pope Benedict XVI overthrown by the Bergoglians, and he was kept prisoner for the last 9 years of his life in the Vatican. This is the things of major motion pictures, so to speak. Crazy stuff, and it happens. So, yeah, John Paul I was moving too fast. All right. Well, what about what they're doing now? Same-sex marriages, I think they're moving a bit fast now. Huge.
Yes, all we right. Had this this recent document from Vatican from Joe Fernandez, the cardinal in charge of the dicastery for the doctrine of the faith, is what they call it now.
Right. I still think he's possible to succeed, Bergoglio. I don't know. He's gotten too much press. Only from my perspective, at watching how much press these various Lotharios and thugs get, Fernandez has gotten more than his share so far, and I'm a little suspicious of that. But go ahead.
Fernandez came out with a document called The Infinite Dignity, Dignitas Infinita. It really represents another stage in the Bergoglian tradition. It speaks of the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights as being authoritative, as if somehow the Church is conferring some authority on this thoroughly secular document,
right?
Secular values. The document states that plainly, bluntly, that capital punishment is wrong, it's not just wrong by circumstances, but per se in itself, it is something evil. Capital punishment is morally wrong, which is, of course, directly against the word of the Holy Bible, the sacred scripture itself. So you have, on the one hand, God speaking through scripture, saying that for certain crimes, it is to be prescribed. And you have this man, Bergoglio, say, through his mouthpiece, which is Tuto Fernandez, saying the opposite. So God is saying one thing, and Bergoglio is saying the opposite. Whom do you believe? Well, I think the answer to that one is obvious. I believe in the word of God, and I reject the false teaching of Bergoglio.
Right.
And Tuto Fernandez. Another thing, it says... This is very interesting. This is a rejection, an absolute total rejection of the sacred scripture. That we will be judged by God. The judgment of God is only going to be limited to the sole criteria for judgment is how we deal with others. In other words, our dealings with our neighbor, our dealings with other people, that God will only judge us for that and for nothing else.
Huh. Wow. Well, these are incredible times, that's for sure. All right. Question number 3. Was there a satanic ritual done in the Vatican during the 1960s? Was there a satanic ritual performed in the Vatican during the 1960s?
I can only say about that the one thing.
Do you know
really
what? Know what this question is alluding to, Father Kramer? I mean, does it ring a bell somewhere?
Yes, it does. In the book of Malachi Martin, Windswept House, I think that was his last book. He describes a satanic ritual that had taken place simultaneously in the Vatican and in the United States, I think, South Carolina, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And according to the research done by Malachi Martin, Malachi did say that yes, that was true. That was a historical event that did indeed happen.
Huh. What did that historical event pertain to? What kind of situational ritual done in the Vatican of a satanic nature? What does that mean? What did Malachi have to say about the nature of what was done? It sounds like something pretty dark and dirty, but what was it? And who was behind it?
So, yeah, I believe it was some sort of black mass that was done. the enthronement of the enthronement of Lucifer in the Vatican.
Wow. That's not.
But there's some description of it in that book, Windswept House. But it's been a long time since I read the book, so I don't remember the details at this moment.
That's fine. All right, but there's something to it, something there.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Okay. Thank you for sending the questions in, Dan. Hope that answers them significantly. So what's going on, Father Kramer? Where are we now in the war against the Bergolians in the church? Anything changed in the last few weeks? Is there a rising movement of discontent, if not rage, among the rank and file clergy in the church? Not to mention the actual parishioners.
I mean, judging by some public statements made by bishops, there is a growing awareness among the bishops, among those bishops who still have the Catholic faith,
right,
that there is something radically wrong with this man, Bergoglio.
That he's, yes. Yes.
I remember reading back in the 1970s prophecies about this false pope. There was a commentary, I believe it was a commentary on the prophecy of St. Francis of Assisi, foretold this false pope. And the commentator in the book said that there will be a growing awareness among the bishops and cardinals that this so-called pope be a man who doesn't believe in God, a man of no faith at all. And it seems to be fulfilled in our own day. There is a growing awareness in the Catholic hierarchy that this man is bogus, that he is not a successor of St. Peter, but he is a man who is faithless and one who is incapable of holding the position of successor of St. Peter. As the Pope of the, as the Supreme Pontiff of the Catholic Church.
Okay. All right. Very good. But I want to go back to this. I don't think we're going to see anything of any substance from my perspective unless and until we see a real groundswell, an unmistakable groundswell of people who are not going to put up with this anymore. People in the church, people in the clergy, it's got to happen. They can't just sit back and write off a few emails and complain. Something big has to happen here. Or will that effort, if it comes at all, be co-opted by something that Bergoglio and Tutu Fernandez, etc., concoct and spring on the upper levels of the church, to try to force them into compliance with their new dictates? Who's going to be first? Will the rank and file figure out that they're being really just brutally abused, or will they be cut off at the pass by Bergoglio and his henchmen with some other outrageous thing?
I believe that, and this is unfortunate, that there's too much passivity even among those who know there is something radically wrong with this man, because it's going to reach the point where he is going to issue decrees, and through this so-called synodal process.
Yes.
There are going to be decrees making such radical the name of reform, radical departures from the most essential points of Christianity, are going to be abandoned by this man and his hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there will eventually be a separation between when those who are of the Catholic faith are going to simply conclude that it is impossible to have anything to do anymore with these people because they're obviously they're non-Christians. They're very publicly
their agenda is satanic, and there's no mitigating of that. It's diabolically opposite to what the church stands for. I'm just curious. I hope this happens soon. Those who depart the evil of the Bergoglians, would they be able to create another Vatican, a second Vatican, so to speak, and staff it with bishops and so forth, others? How would that take in terms of form and format? How would they do it if they set up another church, the real Roman Catholic Church, the real faith? What are the options you can see? Go ahead.
Well, you could have eventually, and I think this will take place, there will be a Catholic Pope. The Bergoglians may remain in possession of the Vatican.
Right.
But a true Pope will be recognized by Catholics, even if he's outside of the Vatican, outside of Rome. It has happened before. I mean, going back to the 1130s, the days of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, there was a man by the name of Cardinal Pierleone who was elected in the afternoon. On the same day in the morning, Pope Innocent II was elected. So you had two men elected the same day.
Uh-huh.
And it was the anti-pope, false one, who took the name Anacletus II. That was Cardinal Pierleone, became Anacletus II. He had possession of Rome. And the true pope was Innocent II. And he had to set up his headquarters outside of Rome.
He actually did. How interesting.
Yes.
Well.
But eventually, Innocent II was able to establish his pontificate, and the papacy was in the hands of the true pope eventually. But that took years to resolve that struggle.
Well, interesting. So there is a precedent, and I don't know what the circumstances back then in the 1100s were that caused that to come about. How would you describe them vis-a-vis what we have today, which is a clear and present imminent danger for the entire structure of the church? These people aren't playing games. They're like the globalists playing geopolitical games with Western Europe and the US and Australia, Canada, New Zealand. They're not playing games. They're taking it down. So I don't know what happened back then. Do you know much about the background of what caused the Pope to actually set up shop outside of Rome? That's very interesting.
Well, the Pope who, I think his name was Honorius, who was dying, he appointed eight electors because the Cardinal Pierleone seemed to have control of the voting cardinals, and he wanted to prevent Pierleone from gaining the papacy. He appointed eight electors among the cardinals, but he died sooner than expected, and only six of the eight got together and elected Pope Innocent II. And the vast majority of cardinals elected Cardinal Pierleone that afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how you had two popes, two claimants on the papacy, one true uh-huh. pope and one false pope,
uh-huh.
Making their claim to be pope.
Very interesting. So there is a precedent. Well, in a 2,000-year-old institution, I would expect things like that to happen. You know, we mentioned Malachi Martin. Some people said Malachi Martin, but whatever. How would you rate him in the modern church in terms of his abilities? He was apparently a psychic and a gift, for those of you who don't know. How would you rate Malachi Martin? And have you read most all of his books? It sounds like you have.
I've read not all of his books. He wrote quite a number of books, but I read many of his books.
Yes.
I can only put it make an understatement. He was highly informed.
Highly informed or highly clairvoyant? Or both?
Well, it could be. I think both of those statements could be true.
Mm-hmm.
What really impressed me was, I think it was 1982 when I read his book, The Final Conclave.
Mm-hmm.
And the introduction of the book is background information. It's almost half of the book, but it's historical background information. And the second half of the book is basically predicting future events using a novel, using fiction to make a prediction of what's in store for the church in the future. But it was the first half of the book, historical background information,
right,
that convinced me that he was highly informed, because I had been living in Rome for about 10 years, and I had up until 1981, and this was 1982 when I read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying, what he was saying in that first, I think, 150 pages of the book, was so much verified by my own information that I was able to verify from my own inside sources, mm-hmm, that what he was saying was true information, was true intelligence about what was happening in the Vatican. So I could see that this man was highly informed, because mm-hmm, what he was saying there, so much of what he was saying were things that I already knew from my own sources.
Got it. And his highest rank in the church was father? What was his title, his highest title?
He was a Jesuit priest. He was a close associate of Cardinal Augustine Bea.
And, I don't know that name.
He was a German cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a professor at the Pontifical Biblicum University in Rome.
He made a number of radio appearances shortly before he passed, and they were very widely attended. And he said a lot of interesting things, which almost suggested that he knew more than simply being well-informed would allow him to know. It's like he had a paranormal gift, as some remote viewers have. They can view the future to a degree and so forth. He was a very interesting man from my perspective. I didn't know him, didn't have him on the program, but I kind of wish I had now. That was a very interesting story. One of the most unique characters around, for as far as the media is concerned, in a long time. All right, now, let me go to another topic here. I had another email about this the other day. Nostradamus. What, if anything, is the official position of the church about Nostradamus? And does the church pay attention to any of his writings, his forecasts, and so forth? And I guess we'd have to go further and say, was he legitimately a Catholic? I don't even know. But what about Nostradamus, Father Kramer? What do we know about him?
Officially, the church has never made a judgment about him. And he was a Catholic layman, and
mm-hmm,
was I don't remember the name of the church or the location, but his remains were buried in a church, in a Catholic church. So he was given a Catholic burial for sure.
Got it.
Beyond that, there is no official pronouncements. He has no official standing in the church as an author.
Mm-hmm.
But the church has not condemned him either.
That's an interesting development because he is such an interesting historical figure. I would think that the church would have made some statement about him. Maybe it's just something that better let sleeping dogs lie and don't bother them. I don't know. But that's interesting. But I didn't know that.
That was also my assessment of his relationship with the church, that the church did not really want to make a pronouncement about him, and better just they have left it alone.
Right. All right. Okay. Sister Lucia ended up living in a convent in Spain, wasn't it? The third prophecy?
She was. She had briefly been in Spain, but for most of her life, most of her adult life as a religious, she was a Carmelite nun, cloistered Carmelite nun in Coimbra, Portugal.
Portugal. There we go. Right,
yes.
Well, I was close. Okay. Was there any move to elevate or confer upon her any special standing in church hierarchy? Was there any talk about making her a saint?
Well, her two cousins, of course, they died young. They died much.
Yes. They were young, yeah.
So they had been beatified by Pope John Paul II. But okay. Sister Lucia died quite a number of years later. The process for her beatification would not have been completed at the time that the other two had been completed. So... Uh-huh. The situation has developed in the church where we don't have a legitimate pope right now could validly beatify and canonize her, even though the process may have been initiated some time ago when she did die. They may have already begun the process of investigation and such. The canonical process leads to beatification and canonization. I would not doubt that was underway, but...
Okay.
I don't know the details beyond that. Certainly, everything is under a cloud with Bergoglio in charge of the Vatican now, this anti-Christian fraud.
Yeah, everything is under a cloud. That well said summation is correct. Everything is. There's a lot of confusion. This is what's happening now is historic. And one wonders how the future Catholic writings will describe this particular fraud, and which is what he is. It'll be interesting. We'll know, I guess, soon enough where they're going to take this. If Sister Lucia was around now and could see what's happening, having studied her prophecy and prophetic work so much, how would she react to Bergoglio? Probably the same way you are, I would think. But what do you? Any thoughts on that? What would she think about what's happening to the church now? Because it was reflected in the third prophecy to a degree, what's happening.
One can only speculate what, because she, having received the third secret, with seeing it being fulfilled, and also because she received additional revelations during her lifetime after having written the third secret, it is quite possible that she would have spoken spoken out and made some kind of statement if she were be in a position to do so. But again, it's only speculation because...
Understand, yeah. Now, where are the three prophetic secrets? Where are they? Where are they kept? In the Vatican, I would think. And do we know of their safety? Go ahead, go.
The first two parts of the secret, of course, were published quite some time ago. So there's no question about that. It's the third secret. That's the interesting incomplete story. We have a testimony of Father Schweigel back in the early 1950s, who was sent by Pope Pius XII to Coimbra to interview Sister Lucia. And he came back to Rome and submitted his report to the Pope. He lived at the Rusicum in Rome, which was established by Pope Pius XI to prepare priests to go into Russia. And he said to his confreres there in the Rusicum that the secret is divided into two parts. That he said he can't reveal what's in the secret, but he said one part of it deals with the Pope. And the other part, he says logically, of course, would be those words that follow after the phrase, in Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be kept. The dogma of faith will always be preserved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the words. Those are the words. The third secret begins, the second part of the secret ends, the third part of the secret begins with those words. In Portugal, the dogma of faith will always be preserved. And then there's the unknown text that follows, the unpublished part of the text that follows. Now, what was published in the year 2000 was an account of the vision that the children, the three seers, saw. Just like the first part of the secret was the vision of hell. And Our Lady of Fatima said to them, you have seen hell where the souls of, I can't remember the exact words, where the souls of the unrepentant sinners, where the unrepentant sinners go. The second part of the secret is an explanation, a commentary that follows up on the first part of the secret, which is the vision of hell. The third part of the secret begins with that vision that was published in the year 2000.
Uh-huh.
But the unpublished part, the second part of that third secret, is the commentary, the words of the Virgin Mary, following, in Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved. The following words that come after that, about 25 handwritten lines on a one-page letter, is the content of that third secret, the words that follow that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a commentary on that vision that was published in the year 2000. But the exact text has never been divulged. Much of the content has been revealed in general points, but not in the most not in the particular details.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do we? When are they? Father Kramer, when is that third secret supposed to be fully released? Is there a definite date on that?
The date, what it was supposed to have been published in 1960.
And what held that up? What held it up?
John the 23rd made the decision not to publish it.
What would Bergoglio's stance on this be now? It seems to me that he could he, or could a pope order it released and published? Or does it have to go through the cardinal, all the cardinals?
Bergoglio does not want that released.
I wouldn't think so. Mm-hmm.
Because it is a condemnation of what he is doing.
Uh-huh. All right, so how do we get it out? How do we get the third secret out in full? Now, you're the world's foremost expert on it. And we might talk just a little bit about your pedigree and how you came to be such a knowledgeable and wise person regarding that. But how do we get this out? I don't know how you can get in there and overthrow the Bergoglians and get to it, to release it, because it will be certainly it won't be an encouraging document for him. I understand that. I guess we're not going to see it formally unless the church is somehow reclaimed.
We know that Pope Benedict XVI was in possession of the third secret. He did have it.
He did not put it in his book. That's the other thing. He didn't put it. We were thinking that he was going to really let some big secrets out in that book, but he didn't. Not to my knowledge.
But there were prelates, cardinals, bishops close to him who were who did receive the information what was in the third secret. Perhaps even some of them were given photocopies, I don't know. But the content, what is revealed in the third secret, that was definitely given to some of the bishops and cardinals. So there are some bishops and cardinals who do know the third secret of Fatima. They did receive it from Pope Benedict XVI.
Right. They did. You're saying they did?
Yes.
All
yes,
right.
They did.
Well, we need, if they have a photocopy of it, or did he just orally transmit it to them?
Well, that I don't know. One archbishop mentioned some details of the secrets. He obviously knew what was in the secret.
Uh-huh.
Whether he was given a copy of it, a photocopy, or whether it was told to him orally, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that this prelate was given the content of the third secret.
It seems
and
to me. Go ahead. Go.
He was not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Do
we know who these people are, Father Kramer? Do we know names? Do we know who they are? Who were allegedly given the information?
Dr. Ingo Dollinger, a seminary professor, a priest who knew Padre Pio very well, was Joseph Ratzinger's professor in the seminary. He was a young professor. Dr. Dollinger died only a few years ago. I met him in 2005 at his home in Wiegratzbad in Bavaria. And I discussed some questions regarding the third secret. And very interestingly, what was revealed in the year 2000 does not contain all the details that the then Cardinal Ratzinger had passed on to Dr. Dollinger. Dolliger told me, I confronted Ratzinger to his face. Those are his words. It was around the year 1991 when Cardinal Ratzinger revealed some specific details of the Third Secret to him.
Right.
And then in the year 2000, when the Third Secret was supposedly revealed in full, those details were not there. And that discrepancy, Dr. Dolliger brought that discrepancy, presented it to Ratzinger, to his face,
right.
to Pope Benedict, not Pope Benedict, that was under Pope John Paul II, the Cardinal Ratzinger, he presented that discrepancy to Cardinal Ratzinger after they had concelebrated the Mass. And Ratzinger was cornered, and he didn't know what to say. So he said, really, there's more to it. There's more to the secret than what was published, is basically what he said.
Well, what's interesting to me is that Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, was held prisoner for 9 years. And if there was anything earth-shaking in that Third Secret, which in all likelihood there was, I'm surprised he wouldn't have leaked it in an act of not going down silently into that cold, dark night. He should have, could have, really made a big noise with that, because he certainly saw the evil that was surmounting the power structure in the Vatican, and I'm surprised he wouldn't use that Third Secret to help slow this and certainly enlighten the constituency of the Church with that Third Secret so something could be done. But he didn't. Not to my knowledge.
No, he didn't, but he did pass on the content of the secret to some of his associates in the Vatican. And they are still alive.
We need to get in touch with them somehow.
What I think is going to happen is that when they see being fulfilled in our own time, those things that are revealed in the Third Secret, uh-huh, that's when they will make it known. They will, in one way, one manner or another, one way or another, they will have the secret published somehow.
They must, or the Church may be lost. If there's something in that secret that directly identifies the treason and traitorousness going on, and it's got to be released, I would think, somehow.
It will be released. I'm sure it will be released. In 1991, I was in Fatima, and I knew a person who was very close to the Carmelite nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that the information she got from the Carmelites was that Sister Lucia had received the revelation from the Virgin Mary, and it was that the Third Secret will be published. It will be revealed during the course of a major war.
Hmm.
So okay. I think after a really major war breaks out, that will likely be when the secret will be revealed.
Well, it would be a pretty dramatic time to do it. Your personal projection on when, what time frame are we in? Is the clock 11:55 now, 11:57? Are we that close to a thermonuclear exchange that might... Go ahead.
We're getting close to 11:59 at this point. About 10 right. years ago, I was in Rome about 10 years ago, and I was discussing this on Fatima TV, and I was presenting a scenario of of Israel making an attack on Iran, that these would be the events that would provoke a third world war. And I said this on television about 10 years ago. More recently, the video clip from that TV show was shown again on YouTube or on the internet. And now we see that the war is breaking out openly between Israel and Iran, and Israel is retaliating with its attacks on Iran. So this is something I foretold about 10 years ago on TV as being the possible event that would set off World War III. So I think we are 1159 on that clock.
I personally concur. I just laid it out from 55 to give you an option, and you went right to 59. I don't know how much closer to 59 we can get without it tripping over to war. It's that close now. I agree. We'll see. I don't know what's holding it back, frankly. But nothing being done by the West is in any way showing signs of disengagement or downplaying any of this. It's getting worse and worse. All right, Father Kramer, thank you. We have to run. You take care. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you for the update and the wonderful conversation. You be well.
Thanks. Bye now.
Okay. Father Paul Kramer. We will be right back Monday. Zip, zip, zip. Enjoy your weekend. Think these things through. And don't just wait for somebody to come and help you get prepared. You have to do something. All right. Talk soon. Take care.